Assignment briefing, relocation requirement. Assignment briefing is something like, you know, it is related to the role. What is your assignment? What role you are supposed to play there? So this briefing is most important. At the same time, see, when you talk about this assignment, you also need to talk about the role as well as the benefit which comes with this assignment, the package which comes with this assignment, the salary which comes with this assignment. We can look at in details when we talk about the expat salary. Relocation requirement. There are, again, as I said, that there are expertise available in the market today. There are companies specialized in the relocation. So they give the entire package right from shifting your household to doing the cultural program, taking care of the school's admissions, taking care of or searching for the accommodation, or searching for the appropriate car, car rentals, car hiring. So all these facilities, all these logistic issues are taken care of these specialized companies, and that becomes a very big support for the expat. Now, arrival orientation. Now, this is the preparation part. I think it is one is that one aspect is definitely before someone we really deport a expat, and the next stage is what you do it on arrival. As we do induction program or orientation program new employee in every organization, I think this is one of the HR's key role to orient people or to induct people successfully in the organization. I think the same principle goes for the expat. The moment the person arrives, you need to have a chalkboard program, arrival orientation program in detail. And this arrival orientation program help person to understand the new culture, new people, new processes, new surroundings, and that really again became a successful success factor for doing the assignment successfully. So orientation to our work unit, fellow employees, again as I said that you need to understand, the new person need to understand who are the people with whom he is working or she is working, what are the processes, and what is the surrounding, what is the total environment. So that orientation is important, and then comes to orientation on the job. So what is actual job, what he is supposed to do, what she is supposed to deliver. So that's very important aspect, and it's all part of the induction program. Now if you look at a quick check, what is important to reduce the expat stress stemming from clashing work and family demands, organization need to provide what is more, language training important, arrival orientation important, cross-cultural training important, but out of these three, most important is that arrival orientation. Expat preparation involves, of course, expat interviews also there, okay, expat interviews there, but intercultural training is most important aspect. Now let's move ahead from expat preparation to expat adjustment. So what we have seen is that we are identified, we understand now why do we need an expat. We also identified the selection process for expat to take up the role. We also seen how expat need to be prepared, and now we need to look at how the expat need to adjust. Now adjustment is very critical, because now here the scene is that the expat is arrived, that somebody is arrived at a new country, new assignment, okay, there is a regional office, and somebody takes charge of their function or any domain. Okay, now here, now situation is that you imagine situation, I have gone through as an expat, I also manage many expats, so I can probably share both the experiences. When I went there for the overseas assignment as an expat, the first thing probably it was like, you know, initially there was a curiosity, there was excitement, there's a new assignment, new country, we are working with the new people. So lot of excitement and happiness was there. And it is many times it is there when you accept assignment willingly. The moment you land there, there's another challenge is that there are different phases you go through. One is definitely, as I said, that the first phase is that is the phase of excitement. The next stage comes that everyone accept you, everyone talks about you. So you are all surrounded by the people. You are like a star, okay? And this is sometimes it's like, you know, people treat it like a honeymoon period. So everything is very hanky dory. Everything is very rosy, okay? So you bask in that glory. But the moment, the day you start your job, then that becomes a day of reality. And you try to understand, oh, there are challenges now. So if you really look at, now this phase is the adoption, that's the first. Then you go for preparation. It's like a honeymoon period, where you are very happy. And then there is a cultural shock. The cultural shock comes the moment you start delivering. And then you try to understand, oh, how to deal with the people. Then you find the cultural issues, you find communication barriers, you find non-acceptance from the people, you find the environment challenges, the dealing with the agency, dealing with the, because when you are in your own country, you are more familiar with the entire environment. You are familiar with the government agencies, you are familiar with the business environment. But in a new country, everything is new to you. And everyone try to test you, everyone try to judge you. And that becomes a cultural shock. And this cultural shock, if you are successful, sell through, you are star. If you are not, it leads to frustration. It leads, finally, it's a loss to the organization because you can't deliver. So if you look at this graph, it's very, very clear that initially, if you look at the positive side is very up. So there is a, this is basically hope. Hope for the new assignment, hope for the something new creation. But the moment you try to be on the job, and if you are not prepared, if you are not prepared, if there is no orientation, you can probably dip here, is a cultural shock. It's all possible that you may go up and probably stabilize yourself. But most of the time, the people who cannot go up, this is a complete loss to the organization. In quadrant 3, those who cannot really move up, B and A, those who are below this line, so that's a complete loss to the organization. So one can understand how important the preparation and adjustment of expat. So we understood this now, this expat preparation, how we can really prepare expat, and this is a whole probably effort of cultural adjustment, cultural realignment. So most important is that this can be done through very formal intercultural training program. This already we have seen, that adjustment cycle, honeymoon, then cultural shock and adaptation. Here is the stage where you need to really prove yourself. If you are move out of that cultural shock successfully, you will start delivering. And that's where probably expat proves that there is adaptive skills. Now here, as I said, honeymoon stage, expat adoption is characterized by viewing the environment through rose-tinted glasses, because everyone is, I mean, you feel that it's a new country. If you are moving from developing country to developed country, you will find everything is new. But it can happen other way around also, because the way now it's happening, the people who are moving from developed country to developing countries, sometimes this may not be experience. I have seen again in one of my manufacturing days, when there was a German technocrat who came from Germany to Pune, and not only Pune, but is almost 60 kilometers away from Pune, is a manufacturing industrial area, so MIDC. And this person was completely lost, because he couldn't find a single thing he can eat. But that's a rural environment, and it was a very big cultural shock. Very technical competent person, but cultural alignment was very poor, and this was a different experience. But most of the time, the people who move from developing countries to the developed countries, initially probably you'll find it's a very positive environment. Expat adjustment involves preparation, honeymoon, culture shock and adoption. This is in general. Sometimes there could be a variation as it varies from country to country. So when there is a performance, of course, then the most natural function comes, or natural the issue is that how do we reward the performance. Now here, rewarding performance to a other managers and rewarding performance to expat. There are two different aspects, but they are not independent. Although they are, we need to have the integration in both, because finally, if you have a different mechanism to pay to the expat, and if you have very different mechanism to pay the other managers, it may create unrest. It may create disgruntled managers. So you need to really develop a mechanism which will address the issue of a specific issue. So when you develop the performance management system for rewarding expat, what we need to be important, and the countries, what we have done, what people have done, is that they try to look at the home base salary. So one is that the base is that home base salary, so have a equilibrium in terms of the manager's salary and the counterparts from the home country. And then what you add is that the person is taking additional effort to go to a new country, okay, he's taking additional risk, and you pay for that additional risk, you pay for that additional adjustment. So this is paid in a different way, in a different currency. At the same time, have the equilibrium with your home base pay. There are different approaches. As I said, that home base approach is one of the popular approach in terms of rewarding the expat. Now when you look at the additional payment, what you need to look at, that cost of living adjustment. The person moves from one country to another country, you need to look at what is the inflation rate in another country, what is the increase in cost of living when somebody is moving from country A to country B, somebody is moving from say India to Europe, or somebody is moving from India to US, or vice versa. You need to look at how the cost of living is affected, and if we can compensate that cost of living, so that's the first step towards giving the comfort. Now, cost of housing, again, you are moving in a different territory, the housing market could be different, housing availability would be different, so you need to look at what is the cost of housing. Adjustment of tax, I think the tax is another very complex dynamics, because you will find that the tax structure changes from country to country. US, the tax structure is different. You go to Canada, tax structure is different. And you move to Europe, and in Europe itself you will find the Germany tax structure is different, whereas you go to the Netherlands, the tax, income tax can go as high as 58%. You go to the UK, the tax bracket could be as high as could be like 40-42%. Now, and you go to Singapore, probably you will find the maximum tax could go to up to 6%. Now, how we can really develop this parity? If you are in Dubai, again there is a different tax structure. It's very cost tax friendly countries. So one side you have very tax friendly countries, the other side very high tax regime countries like Central Europe. There are countries, probably you can say Eastern Europe, they have the socialistic pattern, very high focus on the welfare measures. So those countries, if you have an expat, it's a different challenge. So you need to look at the very carefully, think over, carefully study the tax structure of that countries where you need to deport people. Now here another approach is that make a budgetary provision. How many people you are intending to depute? What is their return for you as an organization? And how much is your budgetary provision? So if you have budgetary provision, create the budgetary provision. And another way is that one approach is that you take care of employee, you take care of housing, you take care of education, you take care of extra cost of living, you take care of the difference which arises out of the taxation, and offer a certain package which is a complete basket. It's like a cafeteria approach, so we'll look at that. The other aspect is that you offer an employee the lump sum amount and let employee decide what to choose. So as I said, one is that cafeteria or basket approach, that whatever is there, let employee pick up that. Or the other aspect is that negotiate one amount which your budget approves you, which budget allows you, and let the employee decide how to manage all aspects of the cost-related factors. Negotiations of personal agreements, I think there could be like a personal agreement. Now, again here the difference is that it depends on number of employees the organization wants to depute as expat. Now, if there are small number, if there are numbers 1, 2 or 3, I think it makes sense to have personal negotiation. But the organizations like the IT organizations or say the software organizations who depute people in hundreds and thousands to various countries may not like to go for personal negotiation because that will become very tedious process. So for that you need to have very well designed compensation package for all the people who are moving on the foreign assignment. Now there are different type of allowances, as I said the foreign service premium. So you are moving into foreign country, so you need to have some premium. So you can have foreign service premium, you can have hardship allowance, you can have cost of living allowance. So there are different names. Whole idea is that to focus on compensating the additional cost. That's the principle you need to really go by. Now other allowances like as probably those allowances we can see in one the Indian context, which are like a housing allowance, utility allowance, the furnishing allowance, education, relocation allowance, medical allowance. So those remains, but of course the impact is different. Like say what housing allowance you give here in India or in your home country, probably there could be a complex structure in other country. You also need to look at the legislature, you need to look at there are certain countries where you need to give your the allowance, probably there is a deduction for the non-employment in a particular country. I think that is in France, where you need to really pay for your non-employment allowance. Tax, as I just mentioned to you, that tax varies, tax structure varies from nation to nation. Now taxation impacts hugely on your cost of living. If you are in a very high tax regime zone, then your cost of living is definitely very high and it will definitely impact on your budget of the organization. If you are working in an environment where we are tax friendly, now probably that will also upset you, many other people or locals. I have come across a situation where my European managers have come forward and say that your Indian managers, they have a high potential of saving, and we are surprised how come this, and they gave a calculation. They said that, so what happens, your Indian managers are getting salary in pounds whereas their major expenses are in rupees because most of them were not with the family. Now when they are not with the family, their expenses are lower than their counterpart, European counterpart. And this is a very interesting observation and we need to really address that. Yes, I think as far as saving potential is concerned, the Indian managers, we found very high saving potentials. So in this case, what you need to do is that tax equalization. So that's also becomes a part of the process to develop parity in the organization. Tax protection. Sometimes there are companies who try to protect the extra tax burden on the employees. They try to compensate that. As you said, that cost of living varies from country to country. Now, many times it happens that the companies also go for a different or very innovative method of paying in multiple currency. So that also becomes another reason that, you know, someone gets salary in home currency, someone also gets salary in the country of work where you are being deputed. Now many times there is a tax or exchange rate variation. So one is that the tax factor, there is also exchange rate variation. So sometimes you need to protect your employees. If you can have the neutralization every year, and if there is a change of if there is a frequent change of exchange rate, now sometimes it is in favor to the employees, sometimes it is unfavorable to the employees. So you need to look at the situation and try to protect the interest of the organization as well as the employees. Now new approach to expat compensation. Now new approach is basically what people talk about is that total reward, that is a total value. So I think what we have concept now in Indian compensation is that we talk about the CTC, cost to the company. So same way here we talk about the total reward. It covers even the cost of the new assignment, because if the employee is getting a new exposure and that cost to the organization, so organization try to even assign that cost as a their package of reward. So as I said, is the balance sheet approach or is the lump sum payment? So that becomes a new way of working. Finally, it really makes sense that as far as organization is concerned, how much I can contribute as an organization, how much I can really pay against the salary for my people in the organization in various countries, and what is my return. So based on that, and I think over last decade, we have seen that the companies, particularly in a technology company, company in banking and finance, have really become aggressive for their salaries. And when I say aggressive, not the base salary remains almost same or maybe say very natural increase, but organization have become very aggressive in terms of giving bonuses and incentive. I mean, this is exactly in relation with the performance. The people who really drive the business for a higher performance and higher returns, they get salary, very aggressive salaries. But this happens, of course, if there is a growth in the business. Now, the other approach is that the organizations try to give you payment salary for a different roles. If you are performing a multiple roles, you get paid for multiple roles. If you have certain role in a host country or your parent country, you are paid in the local currency. If you are performing another role in another country, you also get paid. So sometimes it is known as like a multicolor currency. You have a package coming with a different currencies. Now, as I said, that is this home-based approach or compensation is more popular, which really revealed out of the survey. But I think this is the way the industry is going. So they are more comfortable to have some bearing on the home-based salary. At the same time, they can become aggressive to pay for the performance. So in nutshell, I think the policy is that, you know, if there's a performance, you pay for it. If there's no performance, I think you take at least the minimum cost. Now here, as I said, home-based approach as well as here local plus approach is the same. I think the same meaning is same, that local, that is the company, if your employee is from a certain country, you protect that local salary and also add on the component from the country where you are assigning the employee. Foreign service premium, as I said, that's very lucrative for people if you are there, you are working in an overseas assignment. This we already covered, hardship location allowance, cost of living allowance, and many companies, as I said, host country management set housing allowance, but increasingly more firms are determining housing standards centrally and becoming more involved in choice of housing. Now there are different approaches. Few companies, as I said, they will go in detail to even look at what is the education facility, what are the housing facility, whether the person should drive certain brand cars or certain level of cars. Or there is another approach is that you negotiate, it's a lump sum amount, and let employee manage their own cost factors. Now what are the current trends? Current trends are, as I said, the tax equalizer. People like to look at what is the tax, how you can really equalize the tax, how you equalize the tax burden, correct? And most companies now use the worldwide tax provider, because now, as I said, that the movement of people moving to different countries has really gone up. So there is also understanding happening in a global community. So you have a companies, it's like a companies like in who really process payroll across the countries. The payroll companies like we have ADP, so they process the payroll for US, for Europe, for India, for China. So now there is a central database available. Now this information is available with these organizations. They have expertise how you can really design this compensation package for expat. This is a much easier task than what used to be in past with technology, with expertise centrally available. Now let's look at the performance, expat performance management. How is it different to manage the performance? Now if you really look at performance management, remains universal tool whether it is a manager from the host country or parent country. As far as expat management is concerned, where is the difference? The difference is that you need to look at the person is moving from one country to another country, taking an additional risk, getting aligned with the culture, new culture. So here probably what you need to pay for the person is not only for the performance, but the person and along with the family, somebody has taken extra stress. So how you can compensate, how you can assess the performance. The other aspect of performance management is that who will assess the performance, whether the parent company will assess the performance or whether the country where the expat is deputed. Now here you need to develop a balance, or you can say is a blend of assessment. You need to have assessment from the headquarter, the person who has deputed the expat, the company who has deputed the expat. So there is an assessment, because finally when the company identify a person and they put as an expat, there are certain objectives. Now you need to really look at whether those objectives are being met, objectives are being achieved. So that's one part of assessment. The other part of assessment, local assessment. If somebody is assigned to a particular subsidiary, you need to look at that the person has successfully aligned. Has he developed, has he demonstrated the leadership skills, has he demonstrated the delivery skills, and those aspects you need to really assess the person. Now look at the quick check. Home based approach to pay aims to ensure that the reward package is in line with the employee doing a similar job in host country. Correct? The value of pay package that employee receives is same as home country, where the focus normally is the home country. So what you get at a home country, you shouldn't be getting a less than that. So that's the focus. If an expat pay has been reduced since the taxes are lower in the host country, what approach to taxation is, whether tax protection, tax liability or tax equalization? So certainly the tax equalization. So you need to look at, you need to focus here that you need to equalize the tax burden. Let's move as the next part, very important, that after covering the reward and performance management, what comes next? Now comes next that person here, up to this, that we assume that the expat is well settled in the system. There is a good assessment of the performance. There is a reward. If there is no reward, the person comes back. If there is a reward, the person stays. But there is also possibility that somebody is very successful. There is an aspiration, further aspiration. Now further aspiration may lead to move out of the organization, and that leads to the repatriation. Now here again, if you look at the Ernst & Young, what their study says that 16% of employees bolted within the first 2 years after a global assignment ended. What does it mean? That people try to see green pasture somewhere else. So, and if that happens, what happens? There's a loss to the organization. 41% of expatriates return to the same positions they had before they went abroad. Now these two factors are different. There is one aspect is that there is attrition, repatriation, there is a loss to the organization. The other aspect is that 41% people come back and they join the same position. It leads again frustration, that people are not happy. Because they are seeing the good part, they are moved out, they went, they had a good experience, rewarding career path, and they come back on the same position. When they come back on the same position, there is all possibility that the people are not happy. So you are basically getting the people who are not happy, and you as an organization, there is a pressure on organization how you can really meet their expectation. So repatriation, I think that also becomes a big challenge, because if you can't really manage, and that calls for what I can share with you, that what we used to have is, what we have done, that we have developed a career aspiration plan. Now, when you have career aspiration plan, so in this process, you involve people, you involve those employees, and you chalk out the plan that this assignment is for 6 months, you will be to a particular country. What happens? If you come back, you acquire skills, you have a next assignment. Next assignment could be a home country or another country. So, but there is, you need to give a sense of elevation to the employees, and you need to show that horizon for next couple of years. And if the employee sees that it is growing, the people don't leave the organization. Now, what happens if, when people leave the organization? There is a big loss to the organization. There is a loss of knowledge, there is a financial loss, and you also need to retrain the talent and go for the new talent. That's a big loss. Now, steps for effective repatriation, strategic changes. What is more important is that many companies, as I told you just now, I talked about that even before you assign, before you ask person to move out for the new assignment, you have a career aspiration plan, and the same thing is being said that even before expat leaves for the assignment, you have program ready for that employee. So you know it that after this assignment, where is the growth path for the same person. So if this is in place, the repatriation is not a big challenge. Now look at this example. Adidas, the athletic apparel and shoemaker, has a mobility team that provides reports from expat to their talent center of excellence to try and make the most of the skills these expats acquire after this assignment. Meaning, knowledge repository. Those people who are moved, who are given this assignment, they need to keep sending this knowledge or the skills acquired, so that even tomorrow the person is not there in the system, you have a complete knowledge at your disposal. Organization is not losing on the knowledge. Now, step to effective repatriation. One is that employees are now providing social support while the expats and their families return. So there is a social support to the people. Many times it becomes a very sad that people come back on the same position, and the family also loses on what experience they got it, and now they are not willing to come back to the same positions. Their standard of living must have changed, and now if you expect them to come back, so that's a big disappointment. So if you address these issues, the people like to continue with the same organization. So reorientation, it also calls for reorientation, readjustment, the way it was required when you move people from one country to another country. If you are getting people back to their home country, you also need again recultural adjustment. To review an expat performance fairly, it is essential that, what is essential? The host country appraise him, not enough. The host and home country appraise him, both. As I said, the appraisal has to be from both the sides. And let's look at whether we are right or not. Correct. B. One of the biggest repatriation challenge for the expat is that he may take time to readjust to his home country culture. So, I mean, this is surprising, but that's true, that even if the person comes home country, find it difficult. And I'll tell you my example. When we came back and we came back from an assignment from Europe, and I found it difficult even to drive, because when you are in Europe, you drive all the cars which are automatic, and when you come back here, so again, you know, shifting to the car with gears is a big challenge. The small thing like this also makes you uncomfortable, and so these are the things you need to really address and issues when it comes to the expat management. Now let's summarize what we have seen. What we have seen is that what is the need for expat? Why do we need expat? And as I told you that the world is changing, there's a movement is happening across the countries. Okay, the people are moving from one country to another country. There is a global workforce is getting emerged. So it's a mutual need, the need of the organization for a new talent, and like procurement, like a material sourcing is happening, same way human resource sourcing has become now global. And it's a trend phenomena, is growing day by day, and there will be need for the people to move constantly from one country to another country. And that's going to stay here. So expat management is going to be a integral part of international human resource management. We have seen how to identify the expat. What we have seen that there are different theories and different aspects and different dimensions. But most important, what you need to look at, you look at the technical skill of the person, technical competence. You also need to look at what is the cultural orientation of the person, whether the person is capable to accept a new change, new culture, is a risk taker. You also need to look at the family situation, whether is a family is a constraint or family is a supportive factor, is family ready to relocate. So you need to look at the family orientation, and also most important is that you need to look at the adaptability of the person. Whether a person is adaptable, I think you can really definitely go ahead and identify such person based on the merit. And the moment you deput a person, what you need to do is that, as an organization, what we need to do is that we need to prepare that person. And preparation involves a lot of cultural training, awareness, sensitivity. And the moment the person is ready, okay, you also need to organize relocation training on arrival. The person immediately arrives in the new land, so there is an arrival orientation happening to the person. Now, as an expat, what we understand, the person goes through different phases, and there are four different phases. One is that, you know, the adaptation to the new environment. The next is that adjustment. The third is that there is a very cozy period, is a start, comfort. Okay, it's a very rosy, cozy period, which is known as like honeymoon. And then subsequently, when you start working, it's a cultural shock. Whether you absorb that, if your preparation is good, you will absorb that. If your preparation is not good, or your performance competent, you are less competent, probably you will face the failure. And to avoid that, you need to give a constant support to the expat for the adjustment phase. The moment if you are successful, then the question comes, how we can probably assess the performance. Now, before performance, I think you also need to look at how you really negotiate salary, how you offer a package, the compensation, how you should take care of the various challenges in terms of the compensation, right from different tax structure, different cost of living, housing, education, family adjustment. So all these factors you need to take into consideration and design the package which is acceptable, or say which is probably rewarding to the person. And at the same time, what you need to do is that you need to assess the performance. And while assessing, most important factor, I think what really differs here is that this assessment has to be from both ends. The assessment from the parent company as well as assessment, local assessment. So that becomes a holistic assessment of the person. Now, after that, most important is that, you know, how you make a resource to stay with the company and how you can manage that repatriation successfully. Because people like change, but people like change, then they accept it. And if you really try to impose change, if they don't want, that's a loss to the organization. So what it says that expatriates, what we have referred so far is like expat, often have to learn to live with a different amount of space than they were accustomed to. It is just part of experience of being an expat. Means the meaning is that when you move to another country, what you carry is that you get additional space, and the question is whether you can really leverage on that space, you make yourself happy, productive. That's a success of the expat. Thank you.